Here, I'll do it better. Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive. Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptations of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach. I was drinking something.
You should have told me if you were ready or not.
No, we're good.
All right, cool. Keep it in. Today we're going to dive into the fourth minute of the 2021 Denis Villeneuve epic Dune Part 1. This minute starts with the shot of the transport ships that we were talking about at the end of last week's episode, or yesterday's episode, in orbit above Arrakis. And this is kind of what I was alluding to at the end of last episode, where what we thought was huge, being the, you know, transport ships five legions wide, are so tiny compared to the planet itself. And just, you know, the scale of everything. I'm going to talk about the scale. It's going to get annoying. I'm sorry, but this movie just does such a good job. Honestly, all of Denis' movies do a really good job. His Blade Runner adaptation does a fantastic job.
Yep.
Arrivals does a fantastic job of the scale of like the ships that show up there.
The ships from Arrivals look very similar to the ships we see in this movie.
Yeah. I'm here for it. Just like inject it right into my veins. Chani goes on to ask, who will our next oppressors be? And, you know, as we talked about, the relationship between the Fremen and the Lansrad is tenuous at best. So for her to be pessimistic about the next
stewards
of Arrakis, for her to be pessimistic is the right way of thinking, honestly. As soon as she asks, we get our title screen, Dune Part 1. And man,
what an intro.
I
3 minutes, 13 seconds of exposition before title.
I love the
so good.
The transition in that title screen too, how it fades from that orange and you get, you know, the super simplistic sci-fi stylized curved D-U-N-E.
Dunk.
But it's not dunk because the small detail of Arrakis in the E.
Yep. Yep.
Highlighted with the light coming behind it is just, it's chef's kiss, beautiful. I love it. I think whoever was the designer of the logo and honestly, just like all of the artistic elements of this film, I cannot give enough praise to.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree, man. They're so good. I mean, as we go on through this movie, like I will be talking, you know, a lot about like this graphic design stuff and like all the small details that may or may not be mentioned in the book, but just make it so much better. So much better of a movie, and like it's design department, graphics, graphic design, aesthetic design, costume design, just such a great job in this film.
I would say my previous favorite film of all time was No Country for Old Men. I think Dune Part 1 and Part 2 have taken that place. Obviously keeping with, you know, some of my favorite actors, Josh Brolin and Javier Bardem, of course. But no, it's just everything about this movie is fantastic, and I love it. And just give me Part 3 already. Come on.
So I wanted to take this a second here. Splitting the movie into parts. This was one of the first like big departures from previous adaptations to film for Dune. Even when you talk about the Sci-Fi Channel series, like it one series covered Dune, one series covered Messiah, one series covered Children of Dune. So, but they still crammed the entirety of this first book into, you know, basically a 3-hour structure for the sci-fi series. And then with the David Lynch movie, they crammed all of this into effectively an hour and a half, maybe a little bit longer. Maybe it was closer to 2 hours, maybe. But the fact to split it into, I don't even think we knew at the time that it was going to be three parts when Villeneuve's Dune came out. I don't think we knew.
I don't even think the studios knew, because they hadn't greenlit part two until a couple weeks after part one came out.
Fair enough.
And I don't blame them, because as we talked about previously, the Lynch film is not a good movie.
And I love it, but it's not a good movie.
And Dune is not as easy to adapt for mass market as the series that stole from it, Star Wars, or any other sci-fi. But I think, you know, the studios wanted to see how successful part one was going to be before they, you know, decided to commit another, what, 200 and something million dollars to the production.
Yeah.
Which, a side note, you look at the costs of other films and stuff, and you compare them to the cost of, you know, Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2, and it's like, where is all the money going on those other projects? Because they don't look as good, they don't write as well. Whoever's in charge of making sure that every cent of the budget for the Dune adaptations, whoever's in charge of that is really making sure that every penny is truly getting used to the maximum amount.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it was going back to the splitting of the movies up, I think it was a great idea. I'm glad they did it. Mm-hmm. The parts where they cut at least the first and second movies, when they cut them up, it makes total sense. Those are pretty much the different books or sections within the first book. I think it was a gamble for sure. You know, just doing the first part, not knowing if people would actually latch on to this next iteration of someone trying to make a Dune movie. It's definitely been, as we said, it's definitely been tried, but, thankfully people did. And, you know, I think he's doing a great job. So I think cutting it up into parts was the right move.
Yeah. Speaking of cutting into things, as soon as we get our logo, we get a hard cut to black and then a fade to a sleeping young man. And he's very clearly having dreams.
Yep.
Who is this young man?
Well, first he starts to wake up, and you know, John, that is literally a sleeper awakening.
Oh, okay.
I wonder.
Is he going to tell his dad?
I wonder if that will come back. Yes, we see the dreams. We see a flash of the same girl that we saw in the canyon doing the very dramatic turn, look around, over the shoulder look. This is someone who we will come to know as Paul Atreides.
Side note, I just love how you have, you know, and it's not just Dune. Like, you see this with other, you know, pieces of literature and film. You know, you have Jameis and, you know, Chani, and you have Gurney Halleck, and like all these, you know, cool, like, uncommon sci-fi names. And then you have Paul. You know, it's the same thing with Game of Thrones, right? Like, yeah. You have a lot of these big, you know, medieval names, and then you have Kevin Lannister.
Like, Kevin.
Clearly, you know, you can only come up with so many names before you just have to pull from the regular list of common names. But that's not to say that Paul is not an important character. In fact, he's our main character. We're going to learn a little bit more about Paul and his homeworld in this minute here.
First, I got to talk about something.
Oh, go on.
The next scene after Paul awakens is one of my favorite pieces of small tech, or not even small, but like background technology in Dune.
Are you
the
glow
globes?
Yes.
The glow globes.
I have so many notes about the glow globes. They're so fucking cool. I want one. I want several of them. They're just, oh my God.
Going into this movie, that was one of the biggest things that I was wondering, like, how are they going to do this? Because it's been tried to do so many different ways. The book has little to no explanations on what glow globes are. The encyclopedia goes into a lot of detail about what glow globes are. In David Lynch's Dune, I think they're just like floating lights. I mean, there's really no attention given to them.
They look like floating fluorescent light bulbs. Yeah, they're long and rectangular.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, that's a ceiling light. They clearly hung from the rafters and are just moving through the set. The Sci-Fi Channel series does a cool thing when you get, like, when you see into one of the Fremen sieges, they're these like very organic, like tumbleweed looking things almost, and they have to hit them against the side of the rocks before they start to, they're basically like glow sticks. They have to like crack them and shake them, and then they start to glow. But I mean, that makes a lot more sense because according to the encyclopedia, inside each of these glow globes are microorganisms that are phosphofluorescent, I believe is the word.
Close enough.
They make light. And it's like little living things inside these globes. They're just fucking putting in the work, and
the unsung heroes
really not getting a lot of attention or praise or anything. I just think that we should take the time to celebrate them because they are a wonderful piece of technology in this universe. And glow globes are awesome.
Glow globes themselves get 10 Shai Hulud out of 10 Shai Hulud.
Yes, absolutely.
And I will defend that until the end of time. I really love how they just hang out and they just go with. One thing I would like to point out too is so when we cut to Paul and he is asleep and waking up, one of the prominent sounds at this point is the sound of rain, which as we learn here in a few moments, Paul is on his home planet Caladan. Caladan cannot be more of a opposite to Arrakis. It is a planet of oceans and weeks long rainfalls. And honestly, personally, I would love to live there because I just love when it's just to other people's super shitty weather outside. So I'm kind of jealous of that world that he lives on.
You're like a heavy Portland.
We are also told in this moment that we are in the year 10191. But correct me if I'm wrong, we are way farther in the future than 10191. This is just a recaptured time.
Yeah. So this is something that is very prominent in the books, and I understand why they cut it out of the movies. For this movie, and you know, with the story that Denis Villeneuve wanted to tell, I get it. It makes sense. The thing that was left out was it was an addendum to the year. In the books, we have the same year, 10191, but we have this this marker at the end. It says AG, which stands for After Guild.
What is the guild, Zach?
The Spacing Guild, John. It is the Spacing Guild. Without going too far into this, because again, that is a topic that I could spend hours and hours talking about. It is very similar to the BC. CE date switch that we have here on Earth, and it is basically when the Spacing Guild was founded, they decided to date everything in this universe back to that. So anything before the Spacing Guild was BG, anything after the Spacing Guild was AG. That zero AG point is something like 20,000 years into our current future. So if we were dating dating the world of Dune as we're seeing it on the screen now, in terms of our current years, we would be somewhere in the year 30,000. So the world of Dune exists 30 some odd thousand years into our future.
Just a little bit of time.
Just a little bit of time. So we do get some, but people who are just watching the movie, if they don't know that part, they're going to see, 10,000 years. So this is something like, 8,000 years into our future. So there is like a fair amount of time compression that happens there. I don't think it really matters though. For the movie,
it doesn't matter. By the point we hit 8,000 years in the future, we hopefully will be a multi-planetary species at that point.
That, we shall see.
That would be cool to see, but unfortunately,
yeah, we won't.
we won't be there unless you believe in reincarnation. But that's a different podcast. So I wish I had written it down, but if I remember correctly, the planet Caladan is referred to as, the ward of House Atreides.
Yes,
it is. The Atreides are, and this is research from the Dune Wiki, which to all the people that add and, make sure that it is up to date, you are the unsung heroes. I love you guys. You're great.
You and Glow Globes.
Yes, you and Glow Globes. The Atreides are descendants of Agamemnon and Menelaus, but who were the kings, or who were two kings in ancient Greece, that led the and unified the Greeks and led them against the Trojans in the mythical Trojan War. I believe House Atreides makes a claim that they are truly descendants of Agamemnon and Menelaus, but I don't know the extent of that.
They make that claim. And this is all being pulled from the encyclopedia. This history is not contained within Frank's books, but yeah, the encyclopedia, the entry on House Atreides says they make that claim, but obviously that there's nothing to back that up. The earliest records go back to, I think like in the year 2000 or something, BG or AG, sorry. Where there was someone, I think it was Pelos Atreides, P-E-L-O-S.
I didn't see that name when I was researching.
Yeah, so. I was flipping through the encyclopedia earlier today on Atreides, and I remember seeing that. So there is a timeline where it is like factual. Atreides house history can go, can be traced back to this one point, but the family mythos goes back to ancient Greece, our ancient Greece.
So they've been around a while.
Yes.
So Paul is sleepily shuffling his way through the house, and we see him at the breakfast table with a woman who simply says to him, "It's good you're up early." I would like to make a note of something. This boy is not even awake yet. He is not up. Physically, he is up. Mentally, he is not present.
I think that is an observation that you personally can identify with. as one of the weirdos who springs out of bed in the morning, I think he's fully awake.
No, as a self-proclaimed vampire and night owl, I can guarantee you he is the farthest thing from awake in this moment. Well,
I guess we'll never know, because that's where the minute ends.
Yep.
Right there. So we'll have to come back tomorrow to really dive into this. Looks like a pretty lavish spread here.
Talk about breakfast.
I know. I want to see what those flapjacks look like.
First breakfast, though. Yes. We're not at second breakfast yet.
All right, cool. Well, you want to come back tomorrow and talk about the minute number four? Five. Minute number five.
We're in minute number four right now, so.
This is way too early for me to start getting confused on the minutes.
I know. Don't worry. I'm keeping track for you.
Okay, good.
But yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Talk about some breakfast.
All right. See you.